For radio, we submitted an overwhelming amount of data to support our requests. I never saw anything from Broadway, and some of the other applicants, I thought they didn't support that much. The city did their study. Can I continue?
Yes.
The city's study, they told about the taxi driver labor market study. That was a process where all the companies had to submit all their financial and operating data to the Revenue Bureau. We were also brought in individually and interviewed about how we operate. And I think they interviewed like 250 drivers to find out what they made. And there was one clear winner in that entire process, and that was Radio Cab, where the drivers made roughly double what anybody else made, and all the drivers. They are all treated better and everything else. We have, by and large, the most call-ins for our service. There was some comments made about the port recommendations and how there was too many cabs on the street. You know, if you go out to the port and you check the backfield or the on-demand line, you're going to see primarily four colors of cabs. You won't see any black and whites out there. Our guys really don't work it. And that was substantiated lately in a meeting at the port where we found out that the total amount of permits held by operators for permitted cab companies to operate at the port or stand in the on-demand line was a total of 256, which happens to work out to 136, exactly 100% of Broadway's permits are permitted to operate in the backfield at the port. 48 for Green, 100% of their vehicles are operating, you know, are allowed to operate in the backfield. 26 for Portland Cab, 100% of theirs. And 19 for New Rose City, 100% of theirs. Radio Cab has 27 permits. Most of the time they aren't even used, and that's less than 20%. I think, you know, to say that it is you're going to flood the market out by adding new cabs is ingenuous when half of your vehicles, I won't say half, but a goodly portion of your vehicles are concentrated at the backfield of the airport and really are not providing any service to the public. Some of the other providers have mentioned, we have also invested in new vehicles and are sitting idle waiting for these additional permits, which keep getting put off and put off and put off. And I would certainly like to get something going because our demand, our service, or our discount count, we carefully track and is submitted to the city, and it has increased every month since, I think, 2009. And we track that very carefully. And we're now up to averaging approximately 120,000 dispatched orders every month that go out to our drivers. And quite frankly, we're starting to get a lot of complaints about bad service because we just don't have the capacity to supply it to the customers that request it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Questions, Dan?
Well, I guess I'd like to ask each one of you. Well, you haven't testified yet, so
yes.
Let's hear your testimony now.
My name is Kadir Wako. I'm a union cab president, and also I have been driving for Broadway since 1998. there is some just a few issues I want to say. And what union cab, who caused union cab to come to this city is Broadway. Broadway abuse cab drivers. We are abused. We find as much as they want. For evidence, Broadway rule and regulation, you can see that maybe for evidence, you can't have a place, the city council. You can see that it's unsuable regulation they have it. Whatever they do to drivers, nobody can challenge it. It's up to you. You can go or leave. And Broadway flooded the city with a gypsy. It's a, what they call it, a gypsy, like a city of Portland, not to work those cab drivers from Beaverton in Portland. They flooded in the name of SAT or reservation only, or what they call it, another name is a I forget, I'm sorry, one word. There is another third name. So medical transportation or SAT. And so any cab, any person who has a CD permit can go Broadway and get it. They train the cab drivers over, if they submitted the record, they have maybe 100 to 150 cab drivers. It's been trained by Broadway just to scare the other existing cab drivers so there is not enough space to stay in there. So I'll have to work hard and shut my mouth just to work for sake of living there. And because they put 150 drivers on waiting list, even we don't know if that driver is still driving or not, but there is a waiting list of whatever number they call it. So when they caused all this, and now the Broadway acting that for last 2 years, cab drivers has been crying at private for hire transportation every single month of the private for hire transportation. The abuse is being done by cab drivers. Even the city doesn't solve it. It's a simple little minor issue is solved by union cab. Please, I ask the city council still to pay attention the life. They make it another formula. They hire their own proxy cab drivers, like Red Diamond, who was elected by us and doing against us. And to oppose a cab driver's issue is not it's a real issue. So now asking Broadway another permit in the bed. When Broadway asks for their own to get more permit, driver life is not hurt. But when other people get a permit, the driver life is going to be hurt. Driver permit, driver life will be hurt. It will be hurt if cab companies doesn't make no dispatch, if doesn't give them a burden of fine, if the cab drivers get a relief from their KDO of $2,000, the maximum of $2,200 a month. I appeal to Mayor Hells still to relieve all cab drivers. I'm not only presenting those 50 union cab drivers, to reduce their life so they don't have to work 7 days, 14 hours regulated by the city. Let them work like anyone else, 8 hours, and go home and get laughable life with their kids or their family or rest. All these causes, it's because nobody likes to work 7 hours and stand in the sun in the rain. It's just because they can't pay the burden of that kiddie. It's $2,200 a month. And I have to make money. Let's say my car is gas is, I don't know, my car gas is maybe, you know, that it's very expensive nowadays. I have to fill up about $43 a day. Then the company kiddie is $80 as a minimum. So inside that, every Friday, I'll get a surprise or fine of whatever. Maybe a phony person called and said that this cab number cut me over, so you have to be fine. There is no appeal to ask, whatever come. When Broadway know that all this being complained and recorded by private for hire transportation, they know that and they're acting here now like they are caring for cab drivers. I ask the city council to deny Broadway cab permit. Question. Thank you.
I know you had a question.
Well, I earlier asked, was asking about what harm would there be? I mean, I think Broadway Cab, in its defense, said if you grant us more permits, that will harm drivers. I asked the question, well, what about if you carved out from the SAT population? And they said, well, that probably wouldn't harm drivers because it's just taking drivers from SAT to, I guess, Revenue Service. So
can I
guess I'd ask you, yeah, I'd like to get your comments on that thought. What if we...
Virtually all those SAT vehicles are also suburban unpermitted vehicles. Their taxi cabs work out of town, so they're doing double duty. And there is no control on that. So what's to say you just shift, whatever, pick a number, 20, 30 permits, kill the SAT and make them into cabs. What's to prevent them from 30, 40 more cabs out in the suburbs? You know, it's just, it doesn't make any sense and would lead to something, you know, bad. And you know, Radio is a driver-owned company, so we're always looking to how to protect the drivers. You know, that's where our focus is.
So there's, I'm trying to remember some of these details from 10 years ago. There are no regulations in the suburban jurisdictions?
There is not. The only suburban jurisdiction right now would be Vancouver. They have their own set of regulations. So. Okay.
And the cab service that is available in those areas is generally provided by the same companies that we're talking about here?
Well, right now, the economy has fallen on hard times. So anybody with four wheels has got a taxi sign on the top and providing service. There's probably 100 different cab companies out in the suburbs, along with, the players here, the major cab companies here have suburban units also. The controlling factor for our company is, if I flood the market with cabs, then the drivers that own the company are going to be after me. It's not so when you've got one or two or three person-owned company. They're just looking to fatten their own wallet, So
there's a whole bunch of small companies in the suburbs in addition to the major players.
Right.
Okay. And they are, it's the Wild West. They can do whatever they want, except if they can't pick up a taxi fare in Portland, right?
Yes, but if you have a yellow vehicle that has a top light and one that doesn't have a top light, how does John Q. Public tell the difference? Most of the time, they can't. Hail a driver and bring him over.
Okay. Further questions? We'll allow more people to testify, but any other questions for these folks? Thank you very much. And is there anyone else that would like to testify? Come on up.
Yes, my name is Lightning. Basically, what I see the problem being here is that there was a certain amount of permits allocated. And through the process, it seems that possibly Broadway wasn't able to supply the right data or possibly wasn't given the chance to obtain these permits. And one of the problems I see here is that it appears we talk about look through the equity lens or let's be equitable. It appears under this process that Broadway really wasn't treated fairly. And I really think this should be appealed, because Broadway has done a tremendous amount for the city, a tremendous amount for the community, and by allocating these permits and them not being given the proper process has an effect on their business, has an effect on their overall value of their business. And I think that this should be looked at closer, and I think if they have tried to appeal this, there's definitely something to look at further. And let's put a hold on this. Let's take a better look at it and make a better determination. Thank you.
Thank you.
Guys, I'm so honored to be here with Lightning. He's such an incredible activist for the community and for ecology, and I thank you so much for your support of him. On the issues...
Put your name into the record.
Oh, please. My name is Mary Ng. On the issue of the taxi issue, I wanted to... tell you about Betty Hung of the National Lawyers Guild in Los Angeles. She's done a lot of work with taxi drivers, and I wish she were here today to give this speech. But the thing that really grabbed me that she said is that taxi cabs are sweatshops on wheels. Sweatshops on wheels. When you look at the way the workers' pay incentivizing are, the length of their hours. My last taxi drive in Portland, the driver was falling asleep, which I realized so much for my fear of flying, I might die in the taxi cab on the way to the airport. And that kind of consideration in terms of safety should influence the way that we guarantee an equitable living wage to all taxi drivers not working overtime. It's corrupt to force them to work overtime like we do with our TriMet, where we've got TriMet drivers crashing into trees because we don't have benefits and direct hiring protocol. And in terms of monopolistic behavior and disfavor to one company over another, I think the whole room should give a round of applause to all the taxi drivers of Portland who work incredible hours in bad weather and bad conditions, and that we really need to work together as a community for a more equitable outcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, no one else signed up to testify? I think I'd like staff to come back up. I suspect others might as well. Thomas, are you? So I guess part of this is just refamiliarization on my part, so bear with me. But in terms of data collection, can you clarify sort of what's been going on in terms of data collection? I mean, we've obviously got these studies and findings that are here in the record, but what's the ongoing practice? Are you receiving constant data from these companies that we regulate? How does it work?
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council. I'm Thomas Lanham. I'm the director of the Revenue Bureau, and I tore myself away from the joys of the arts tax to come over and talk for a few minutes about this as I was watching on TV.
Working the phones?
All of the above, Commissioner. All of the above. There is no steady stream of data that we're receiving from companies. There are a number of opportunities to improve that so that we can get live data. I believe that there are technologies in place that there would be an ability to get that kind of data, but that was not part of the data input that went into this particular study. So the reason I came over here this afternoon was to talk a little bit about that. There was a pretty robust discussion about supply and demand and how that relates to driver equity and income. And I think the piece that gets lost in this conversation is that a big determinant of driver income, net income, is the expense side of the equation. So it's not just how many fares are drivers able to pick up and what is the rate that they're receiving per mile on those fares, but it's also the question of what is the expense that they have to pay back to the company. And a number of the reforms that the Bureau is bringing forward in conjunction with its recommendations have to do with containing those costs and making sure that the so-called kitty, the rent paid for the vehicle, is capped. So I just want to put that out there as one of the things that is a very important determinant in terms of net income for drivers. Now, in terms of some of the earlier testimony you heard concerning the veracity of the Revenue Bureau data collection and analysis, I wanted to come over and give you a couple points about how that happened. The Revenue Bureau is comprised of a number of different divisions. The regulatory division is one of our divisions, and they're the staff that are principally required to regulate this industry. But another division is the operations division, which houses our audit section, including CPAs and professional auditors. And it was the audit section that reviewed driver income by analyzing 3 years of business income tax data for drivers, as well as a number of other financials of the companies themselves. So the audit section was also tasked with reviewing the data contained in the reports before you, including the documentation of the collection effort, the analysis and the comparison, and the comparison cities that were chosen were the same cities that we compare ourselves against in a wide variety of city auditor audits. So these cities were not cherry-picked base years for comparison, were not cherry-picked. All of those representations were reviewed by our auditors. In fact, much to my staff's chagrin, I personally engaged very deeply in the review of these reports and making sure that the data being presented was defensible and relevant. So in any case where you heard criticism of a given data set, I specifically tasked auditors to go back and look at that data set. So in the hearing, I believe it was back in November, someone made the comment that the TriMet correction, the Port of Portland data wasn't relevant and that it wasn't correct. So we went back and took a second look at that. Where did we get that data? Well, from the Port of Portland itself. They publish that data monthly. And we checked very specifically to make sure that we had good, reliable, and, again, a relevant analysis of that data set and concluded that we did. So, given the lengthy process that the Bureau was undertaken, and I think very thoughtful process that's involved hundreds of stakeholders over the last several years, and given the fact that this is a very complex market to regulate because there are many players, many people who have an interest. You have the safety component, you have the customer component, you have the company's component, of course, the drivers. Any one of those legs of the table, if you make an adjustment to one, there is a ripple-through impact to others. So I would ask the council to please deny this request today and uphold the Private for Hire Transportation Board of Review's decision.
Thank you. Further questions for staff?
No. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I was looking at, what is it, page 14 of the report, Trends in 7 Demand Criteria. It does kind of seem like on a number of criteria since 2000, well, it depends on what year you pick, but some of the demand criteria, the numbers are down since 2005, 2006. There's also a reference on page 13 to what's happened since 2001, but the tables don't reflect that. So I was kind of wondering, you know, what you think is the relevant year to look at in terms of increase in demand. Is it 1998, or is it 2001, or is it 2006? What do you think should be your point of departure in looking at demand increase?
The answer to that is a little bit complicated. As Thomas said, there was a lot of rigorous analysis of the statistical data that we were looking at, and in answer to some of the previous comments, the actual demand factors that we looked at have been consistently looked at when considering taxi demand for a number of years, and they are generally agreed upon to be important statistical factors, although, you know, you can talk to two experts or three or four or five, and the emphasis on each one will be a little bit different. But we did do an exhaustive study of all the literature on demand, and the factors that the city's been using did seem to hold up overall. In answer to your specific questions, obviously, if you're looking to increase your number from the 1998 taxi number, you'd want to look at how did these factors change since 1998. To alter that a little bit, though, there was a demand study that was commenced in 2008, actually at the request of the taxi cab companies, including Broadway, who were claiming at that time that there was a very strong need for additional taxi vehicle permits. I think there are several other important stakeholders like Travel Portland that have been citing the problems that tourists and other business travelers have with getting taxis. And in 2008, there was a very strong general consensus that it was time to really increase those taxi numbers. So the taxi demand study commenced, but and the original initial findings were moving toward recommending new permits at that time, but by the time the study was completed in 2009, the economy had suffered significant losses. All of the factors were on a decline, and what the advice was from the consultant at that time, it was to look to all of these factors, and when they start to trend up from the 2006 highs, when they start to reach that level again, that's when it'll be time to issue new taxi numbers. And we're in agreement with that finding. We think that there was a need in 2008, but then the economy suffered a downturn, a lot of tourism decreased, and we are now reaching levels in most, not all, but in most of the factors we're looking at, we're reaching levels that are meeting or exceeding those highs, those previous highs, and the trend seems to be very well established.
So it's not that this is the first year you would have made a conclusion that there was enough demand to justify more cabs, that if you'd looked at it in 2007, you would have concluded the same thing.
Correct.
Another question I had is, I mean, when you're talking about different cab companies making the case for sufficient demand for their services, isn't it all one market? I mean, if there's sufficient demand for a radio cab to need more cabs, wouldn't there be sufficient demand for the cab industry as a whole?
It's a very complicated question, and it's part of the reason why it took so long for the board to come to a recommendation on this. Part of the issue when you have a regulated monopoly is that one of the unintended negative consequences is that unless you have really good performance standards that you're measuring and using to decide who gets permits, you have this cap, and if you're going to get the same number of permits every year no matter what you do, that doesn't create incentives for good service or for good conditions for drivers. So probably much more important even than the recommendation for additional taxi numbers that the board came up with, what council passed on November 7th was a very new thing for Portland, which is there's going to be a matrix of performance standards developed by the board. And every year when the companies come to request permits, that matrix will be used to decide whether they get additional permits, but also whether they indeed get to keep the ones that they have. Because I do agree with Ms. Miles, the utilization issue is a very real one. Some of the companies can't fulfill the need, that the demand that people are calling them, particularly the smaller companies, and they can't fulfill their customers' demand for service. On the other hand, some taxi drivers are sitting out at the airport long hours, working 14-hour days, not getting very many dispatch calls from their company. So we need to include that in the equation when we decide which companies get permits. We've done it in a initial way in this, in the sense that the board, taking many years of history of both the council and the board saying that it was important to start giving opportunities to the smaller companies to grow, their evidence that they weren't able to fulfill their calls for service, and also their evidence that they were investing significantly in improvements to the company, was weighed very heavily. Did I answer your question?
So demand and demonstration of demand is just one factor among those that you examined.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. I mean, we measured overall demand, and we made a determination that additional permits were required, and then we looked at a whole series of factors concerning how well the companies were performing, and then the other issues such as the unresolved SAT issues.
And just to refresh my memory, when we started out the hearing today, you did say that the SAT issue is under active review by the Revenue Bureau?
Yes, with respect to all taxi companies and the way that they operate SATs. There's a subcommittee. We've already had one very robust meeting where we've identified the issues and potential solutions to the issues. The board will be discussing it at their meeting next week, and we think that the subcommittee will have at least one more meeting before we propose a solution. But we do think it's on the fast track to be solved, because it was throughout this entire two-year process, the status of those vehicles and the crossover and how that affects the taxi demand was one of the big issues that came up over and over again in every context. There are issues in terms of the way the drivers are impacted financially, because in addition, Thomas mentioned that the driver payments to the companies, the kitty is the number one factor that we identified that affects driver income. It's not how many cabs are out there.
And we did adopt some new rules, or you're in the process of adopting some new rules that will limit.
You adopted them on November 7th, that the kitty is now regulated by us.
The kitty's cap. There are a number of other reforms to the industry that we're working on right now. In fact, we'll come back before this body. Right now, we're planning on consent, but if you'd like to hear it on a regular agenda, we could. March 29th, we have a report due before you about our progress in all of those areas.
So I guess my last question, maybe it's a statement too, but you know, I guess in looking back over the situation the last few months, I can't help but feel that, you know, Union Cab came along. Here's this great idea. Political heavyweights, you know, AFL-CIO, Communication Workers of America, African American Chamber, you know, and not taking away from the fact it's a great idea. It sounds like a great idea. It's been working in Denver. But it really kind of forced the authorities to be, which includes us, includes you, private for hire board, to say, you know, we got to do something here. You know, no is not an acceptable political answer. So the perception to me is, okay, we're going to have to grant, you know, 50 permits or so. So, you know, let's open the door and let everybody sort of, you know, as I said earlier, respond to the cattle call. And I'm not sure I have a problem with that, but I guess I'm just still trying to figure out why Broadway and New Rose City would be the two that wouldn't appear to get any of the new permits.
I respectfully disagree with your perception.
No, it's my perception. I'm not saying it's fact. I'm just saying that's my perception.
I understand that, and I just want to flag this very clearly, that we looked at the industry data and made a determination that the market could, in fact, support more vehicles. I don't personally...
Okay, so what happened to Broadway and New Rose City and all that?
There were details regarding New Rose City's operation, some really serious concerns about the management there that we're working with them to resolve, and we think it's going to have a great outcome, and they're going to improve.
Okay. So what about Broadway?
The SAT issue and the need to resolve that is really an important one, and there was also just the lack of any real evidence that permits were needed by them. And a part of the whole consideration by the board has been, and I think it's been an issue that's been before council in the past, we never would hope to get to the point where we say every cab company has to have the same number of permits. That wouldn't be an appropriate position to take. However, we have a whole list of things that we require of any permitted taxi cab company, and we have three companies right now who actually can't meet those requirements with the number of taxi permits that they have. So there is a push to allow each company to at least meet that minimum critical mass that will allow them to meet city standards, to be innovative, to keep up to date with their equipment, and also to provide the services that drivers need in order to make a decent living. So, you know, when we looked at Broadway and radio, if there's a limited number of permits and we want to issue them gradually so as not to negatively impact driver income, we want to make sure that there is a really solid basis for that need for their permits, because they're already of a size that the other companies haven't attained in order to be able to meet the city standards. It's a complicated equation. As Thomas says, you know, you move a piece and something else changes.
Other questions? Okay, if there are no other questions, then I'm going to close the public hearing.
May I interject?
Yes, please.
For the record, Roland Perry-Gary, City Attorney's Office. I want to make sure we have a clear record for the event of any further appeal of this hearing. And what I heard today was the Broadway cab is not appealing the board's denial of its permit application, when, in fact, they are appealing, the Broadway cab is appealing the board's determination to grant permits to other taxi cab companies. If I'm mistaken about the issue at hand, this is the time to clarify the record.
All right, I have not yet closed the public hearing, so allow them to respond to that question.
Did you have another point also, Roland? Or that was
it.
So come on up. We'll get him to restate the question and just make sure we get that answer on the record. So, Ms. Miles, Roland, restate the point, and let's get her to respond to that, please.
Right. The issue on appeal, from what I heard today, was Broadway cab appeal of other taxi cab companies receiving permits from the board, not the denial of its own application for permit.
I believe we appealed both issues. Both, we appealed kind of the whole process, both the conclusion that the other companies should be awarded and the conclusion that we should not.
Okay, good. Anything else that we need to clarify before we close the hearing? Thank you, Ms. Miles. Thank you. Okay, now I'll close the public hearing. My sense, I'm not sure if there are others that are eager to make motions. My sense is that, one, we got some additional information today. Two, this has gone on for a very long time and shouldn't go on much longer. My sense is that at least my comfort level would be highest if we would set next week as a date on which to take action on this matter and not act today. But if others are disagree with that.
I was prepared to make a motion, but I can defer.
Your sense?
I'm willing to go along with the suggestion to defer it. I'd be prepared to act today as well.
Dan, what's your thought?
And your purpose in asking for a 1 week deferral?
Oh, well, one, we got written materials that I haven't read.
Okay.
So if I'm going to make a decision on an appeal that I haven't read everything, I'd actually like to read it.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. So
I'd like to read the whole record, and we only got part of it submitted today, or at least I only saw it today. If it was in the packet before, Broadway's material, for example, I didn't see it all.
Well, it wasn't, but their late submittal, as some of the companies have pointed out, they've been waiting since November to go ahead and get the permits into use and have purchased equipment. So
fair enough, but we don't do a lot of these hearings. We do a lot of land use hearings, and there's a full record developed beforehand. In this case, there wasn't, so I'd like time to review it. So I'd like to set next week at this time for council action on this appeal, and therefore we are adjourned until tonight's budget session at 6:30.
Sure.
I'm getting.
I got a ride back from to the west.